that if they're going to really enforce that complaint, he's acting under color of state law. How can it be otherwise? He wasn't charged with tax evasion or spying. He was charged with some kind of state offense. It seems to me that, and then the judge says, and the district court judge said that we failed to plead properly. As far as I know, this is the rules require notice pleading. We repled according to the judge's dictates, and we said that they were not acting in pursuit of any federal any legitimate federal enforcement activity.
Couldn't you have also filed a Federal Tort Claims Act? Of course, that would have been a little inconsistent with what you're arguing, but that was an option, wasn't it?
I suppose, although, as I point out, we have a claim here for substantive due process violations, which, as far as I read the Federal Tort Claims Act, do not cover that kind of cause of action. It covers intentional torts and so forth.
I've got a couple of questions. This must be the day for goofy fact scenarios or something. But is this golf course a Navy golf course?
Apparently. It's called Great Lakes Naval Station.
Can anybody play golf there?
This is DeHore's the record, but I think my client has some kind of service that is some either military or police service.
So he shows up to play golf, and they won't let him play golf because he isn't, whatever, properly attired.
Right. His shirt has a pocket.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, that's strict.
Usually
they want a collar on a shirt or something like that.
Yeah,
tank tops and cut-off jeans and that sort of thing. But they won't let him play golf. But he comes to play golf with a dog in his car? When he's done, when they won't let him play golf, he takes the dog out for a walk?
Like you said before, I mean, just the fact that somebody says it doesn't make it true, although I think that even that no one here is contesting that there wasn't a dog. That's a double negative. There was a dog.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody going to play golf and bringing a dog along to sit in the car while you play golf. Have you?
No, but I don't play, so I'm
well, I play a lot, and I've never heard of that in my life, anybody doing anything.
Well, so far as it affects this case, I would guess that that's a bad judgment on my client's part. I would say that, however, the police exhibited some bad judgment in what they did about this situation, which was that this is the essence of our case. You know, the 1983, assuming that we have a 1983 claim here, and I guess I'll entertain any questions that the court has about the legitimacy of it, but is all about abuse of government power. It's about affirmative abuse of government power. When you read the cases that there's a train of them from Parrott versus Taylor to Danielson and Davidson versus Cannon, so all of those cases concern mere negligence or cases in which the defendants were not acting affirmatively. Somebody left a pillow on a staircase, or somebody accidentally, or they somehow failed to use a certain level of due care while somebody else did something. But this is a case in which these officers, if you believe the allegations of the complaint, which of course is required for the motion to dismiss, these officers, once my client left the area, the golf course, they followed him, they harassed him, they taunted him, they pushed him, they got in his way, and ultimately, again, if you believe the complaint, they pepper sprayed him for absolutely no reason. Now, I think that's troublesome. I think the essence, as I say, of a 1983 action is the affirmative abuse of government power. And I don't read any Supreme Court case which says that, in fact, I don't read any Supreme Court case that answers the question, is gross negligence or is recklessness or some degree of fault over negligence, mere negligence. We know that mere negligence can't be sufficient. The Supreme Court said that because then it's random and unauthorized, and we can't provide any pre-deprivation process. But there are certain acts that you do, which in Danielson the court said, no matter what pre-deprivation process is attached to, we won't permit it. I would presume this covers walking up to someone and punching them in the nose. Or
tell me this, counsel, were there any other ordinance violations issued after this by local officers?
Not that I know.
Were there any other charges issued other than these at this time?
No. And he was only found guilty
of disorderly.
Resisting arrest. And then we get to the issues of...
And how was that charged?
That was... He was issued 3 citations.
Right.
For resisting arrest and another...
But under authority of what?
Under the county of Lake. And all the...
And were these officers... Did they... Has it been established that they were... That they had the authority to issue ordinance violations of that type or state charges?
Well, he was charged with it, and he went to court, and they convicted him of one.
I said, did anybody challenge that? In other words,
no,
can
I don't know.
Officers
you mean in the
of
state
the
proceeding?
Federal government
mm-hmm.
issue charges for a local municipality or a state?
I do not know the answer to the question. I did not go to the state prosecution, but apparently the state prosecuting authorities prosecuted this matter.
And for the federal government?
No. That's the point. They were issued on County of Lake form.
That's what I asked you before.
Right. And, well, your question was whether I know that, whether they're authorized to do that. I can only assume that they were, because they issued those citations and they were prosecuted. So, anyway, we get to the point of whether...
Well, they could testify as witnesses to it, to the event.
In the space on the form, it said, you know, charging officer. I think my that's it. They signed as you know, themselves. In other words,
okay.
The charging officer was that person, Mr. Maluski, in this case.
Okay.
You get to the issue of whether this was all of a piece or whether there was 2 separate things that happened. One, a course of conduct which amounted to harassment and violation of his liberty, and 2, then an arrest followed by a resisting arrest. The example we offer is if an officer comes up and says to a citizen who's minding his own business and otherwise acting lawfully, do 50 push-ups, that's clearly unconstitutional. He should not be arrested. But if he is arrested, and the duty of the citizen is to submit, even to an unconstitutional arrest, then he resists. Now, those are 2 separate things. If he resists the arrest, he can be charged with resisting arrest. I assume that if he was prosecuted for failure to do 50 push-ups, he would get off, because the court would find that's not constitutional to order a citizen to do that, and therefore there would be no probable cause. I see that I'm out of time.
All right.
Unless Your Honor has a question.
Let's skip.
May it please the court, counsel. We, of course, have to take this case as it's been pled in the amended complaint, but even then, if you take their facts, this case has to be dismissed. This court can resolve this matter by deciding one issue, and that's whether Heck versus Humphrey applies. If you take a look at the amended complaint and its subparagraphs 13P through S, it's very clear that the pepper spraying and the arrest are all one course of conduct. I mean, he was standing there, if you believe the complaint, he was pepper sprayed, he fell to the ground. The officers then tried to put the handcuffs on him. At that point, he resisted, and they finally were able to arrest him. As for his substantive due process claim, that's a matter, this is not a case where somebody's sitting at home reading the newspaper, then they go out and decide to walk their dog, and they get harassed by the police and sprayed with pepper spray and so forth. He was at a federal facility golfing. There was a complaint from the employee at the pro shop who basically said he didn't have a collar on his shirt, so it's time to leave. Now, that collar on the shirt part is outside the record, but you did ask counsel about that. It's also our understanding that he was at the golf course because of a relationship with his girlfriend. So there was a complaint that he was acting disorderly. The federal police officers arrived. They simply responded to the call, and they told him he had to leave. So they walked him to his car, at which point he didn't get in his car and leave. Instead, he opened the door, got out his Rottweiler, and he attached a leash to him and started walking him adjacent to the golf course, at which point the federal police officers were obviously a little concerned. He then decided to walk the dog out onto a busy road, which, it seems a little odd that somebody's going to have a dog at a golf course, go and golf for 4 hours and apparently leave it in the car and then decide all of a sudden he's going to walk it on a busy road. But the bottom line is there was nothing unconstitutional about the way the federal police officers went about this. As far as the 1983 claim, it doesn't really matter, because if this is a 1983 claim or a Bivens claim, you still get to the constitutional issue of whether Heck versus Humphrey applies. The fact of the matter is this is, of course, a federal facility. There's a federal complaint from a federal employee. Federal officers showed up there, and they had a federal interest in making sure this individual left the federal property. Remember, his car was still parked at the federal parking lot.
Well, did the offense take place off the federal property?
It actually took place, Your Honor, on Buckley Road, which is on a federal easement. And so at that point...
It's on a what?
A federal easement. The federal government has an easement over Buckley Road. The bottom line, though, that issue...
What does the easement provide? That they can make arrests?
I'm not sure what the easement specifically is for, Your Honor. But it's
what,
adjacent
then
to...
Then what does the easement have to do with it? It means that they can walk across it or drive across it, isn't that right?
I'm not sure how the easement sort of came into being.
Well, you're not inferring that that gives them the authority to make an arrest on that property.
Yes, it does.
How can they make an arrest on that property?
Because they're following their federal investigation.
Do you mean in hot pursuit, in effect, or under 18 USC?
Well, they were following them based on the offenses that occurred on the federal property. They followed him to the adjacent property to make sure, presumably, that he wouldn't go back to the golf course or that he would leave as they instructed him to. But the bottom line is that issue doesn't need to be resolved because you still get back to Heck versus Humphrey. For those reasons, unless the court has any other questions, we ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
I'll give you 30 seconds or 1 minute, whatever you have to have.
First of all, I don't know anything about a federal easement, so I don't. This is a case came up on motion to dismiss. There's never been any kind of a proffer. I just want to address this Heck versus Humphrey. Heck versus Humphrey only will apply if the underlying offense is the same thing that's being challenged. It's not. We are not claiming that he did not resist arrest. Indeed, we admit that he resisted arrest. That's a completely different subject from was he.
If you concede that you're not challenging the probable cause or the fact that he was resisting arrest.
I am challenging probable cause. What probable cause did they have? Once he left the facility, what probable cause did they have anything to this guy?
You said you're not challenging the resisting.
That's right.
And that's where the pepper spray came up in connection with the resisting, isn't it?
Yes.
So how do you get around Heck versus Humphrey?
Well, I don't, you know, maybe I just, I'm not seeing this. You have a situation, he's apparently, the judge says he's guilty of the offense of walking his dog. Now they come out to follow him. What we said was that all of the things that led up to that was a course of conduct which infringed his liberty, which violated his substantive due process rights, not to be, you know, if you're walking down the street, you don't want to have a policeman standing in front of you every 5 feet. You got to go around him. It may not be an arrest, but it's a significant deprivation of your liberty. It's less than an arrest, but it does that. So, but Heck versus Humphrey only comes into play if you're challenging, for instance, he was charged with disorderly conduct. He didn't, he was innocent of that. Or at least they wasn't, you know, found guilty of it. He was charged with another state offense. He wasn't guilty of that. He was guilty of resisting arrest. We're not challenging. In other words, to win the 1983 case here would not necessarily imply the invalidity of his conviction for resisting. That only comes up again. My example about the push-ups. The officer tells him to do 50 push-ups. There's no probable cause for it, and you can't arrest him for it.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement. Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m.